It's 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
Yeah, that's right, folks. You're back on Community Radio 3CR with me, Mercedes, and I'm in the studio with Jake.
Me, Jacob, and we're actually live in the studio coming out as you're listening.
Yeah, you might be on 8:55 a.m. at all the W's at 3cr.org.au or via your favourite podcast client.
Yeah, a podcast client. And thanks to regular listener David who rung up and reminded us that we needed to get podcasts up. We'll do that in the next day or so.
And now, just at the top there, you heard about the great fundraiser that is happening tonight at the Grace Darling, raising money for Wes Smalley Protection and Aunty Sue Hazeldine in her fight to protect her country on Gugutha Country. Now, last week we spoke with Aunty Sue about impending launches at Southern Launch's Kanibba Test Range, which is on her country, and that's while she's been out on country conducting her cultural activities. And there was confirmation yesterday from Southern Launch that yesterday morning it confirmed that Southern Launch, and in its collaboration with AtSpace, launched the AO1 rocket yesterday morning just after 9 a.m.
Boo.
Yeah, so the launch was and still is shrouded in heaps of secrecy about what it actually contained, what specifically it was for, what type of rocket it is. There's no information about that, but definitely jump on and listen back to last week's episode to hear from Aunty Sue, and where we had a bit of a chat and a deeper dive into Southern Launch and the companies that they keep. So make sure to get on down to the fundraiser tonight. And also on Sunday, there's going to be a Wes Smalley Protection Campaign Info night or session. And that's happening this Sunday also at the Grace Darling here on Smith Street.
That'll be worthwhile going to.
Yeah, so I'll just play a little CSA so folks know where to head to on Sunday, where they can learn more and how to get involved.
Okay.
They've got Woomera rocket range there. They've already been devastating that country for years, and now they want to devastate a whole new area. And, you know, we've got beautiful sacred sites out on country. We look after the rock holes so that the animals got clean water, do a lot of weeding, and, you know, just looking after country all the time. And this mob are hell-bent on wrecking country.
Join Wes Smalley Protection and Gugutha Elder Aunty Sue for a friendly info session this Sunday, the 30th of November from 5 p.m. at the Grace Darling Hotel. Hear from Aunty Sue about her fight against Southern Launch's rocket testing project on her country. There will be discussions, a film screening and dinner provided. Wes Smalley Protection is a 3CR supporter.
Yeah, now this week, video footage has emerged of IDF soldiers. For those of you who aren't regular listening, it's IDF is the Israeli Defence Force, or the Israeli Destructive Force, or I can come up with a whole lot of other acronyms. But anyway, the IDF executing two Palestinians, Youssef Assasa and Al-Muntaser Bella Abdullah, 39 and 26 years old respectively. In Jenin, after they came out of a building that was surrounded by IDF soldiers with their hands in the air surrendering. They complied with the order to lay on the ground, and once they laid on the ground, they had the shit kicked out of them, and then they were shot. And the shocking part of this little news story is that it's no longer even shocking. We're told, even by the ABC, hardly a bastion of anti-Israel bias, that more than 1,000 Palestinians have been murdered by, well, they don't use the word murdered, they say have died, but 1,000 Palestinians have been murdered by the IDF in the West Bank alone. We're not talking 100,000 in Gaza, We're talking about the West Bank. 1,000 Palestinians have been murdered there since October 23. And simple maths will tell you that this is on average more than one extrajudicial killing every single day. And most weeks we don't even mention it, not even on this little radio show. It has become the norm. Israeli Defence Forces shoot, torture unarmed Palestinian civilians. I may as well say the sky is blue and the grass is green, because it's just become that commonplace that we don't mention it, because there are just so many things to mention.
That's right. And, you know, places like the ABC, there are almost 200 journalists, Palestinian journalists, who have been murdered by the IDF in Gaza. They make no mention of the journalists, of their comrades and their colleagues who have been murdered. And, you know, there's no excuses in the world today to say that we didn't know. And, of course, for most 3CR listeners, except for those who keep tabs on 3CR and try to silence the voices on the airwaves.
We know you're out there.
But for most 3CR listeners, we do our part to imagine and bring about a better world. But when it happens on a daily basis, and there's the Islamophobia is for decades been embedded into the structures, into the media, that it becomes the norm that is just not spoken about. And we know the silence of Western governments. We know that. We know the ceasefire has been broken hundreds of times.
Yeah. Yeah, 400 deaths in the last 40 days during a ceasefire in Gaza. What kind of ceasefire does that? And, you know, as I say, there are too many things to mention on the radio show. And outside the radio show, with my and your, Mercedes, involvement in the movement, they're not mentioned because it seems we're part of a left-wing movement in Melbourne at the moment, at least, that seems to be more concerned about the appropriate protest attire to wear at an anti-fascist rally and about who gets the right to use the term socialist in the electoral system. And we argue, well, you and I don't, but the movement is arguing and at each other's throats over this kind of trivial bullshit while people are treated in ways that we wouldn't treat our well-fed pets. And we ask, how has this been allowed to continue? Well, that's how. Political education in this country is no longer about politics. And the education part is more reminiscent of a re-education camp where people look for any opportunity to play the role of Stasi and denounce each other for having less than perfect lines. I could go on, but I won't, because it's much more important to point out that the deaths of Youssef and Al-Mutasar is only happening with the full compliance of the Australian government, and I, for one, am absolutely sick of it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, as you say, as our political education and where we focused our energy or where we waste our energy is, you know, so much of our analysis and our connections and the basis of our conversations is boils down to what can go on 10 tiles on Instagram.
Yeah.
Our relationships are facilitated so much through this. And of course there are other parts, you know, that this is happening on the ground, and this is why these spaces about getting out on the streets together are so important. But if we keep falling to the trap of honing out three sentence analysis because of the excuses that people aren't going to take it in or it won't capture people, you know, what does it take for people to be captured by the atrocities?
And more than a 3 second but it's soundbite.
And as long as we keep being captured by these mechanisms of these abstracted connections, it just goes against what actual trust and solidarity and camaraderie means.
Yeah.
When it's happening across these platforms instead of sitting down. And I think the re-education is the right word, because we're becoming, you know, we can't fall into the trap of becoming subjects to these mechanisms. And I guess, you know, let alone, that's not to mention that giving the state everything that it wants and needs to, you know, there's no need for them to send people in to develop their own maps of our social terrains.
So but they're doing it.
Yeah.
And the government said, look, I'm not sick. When I say I'm sick to death, I'm not sick of the Albanese government acting like dogs and stooges, because you'd be a fool to expect them to do anything less. But I am sick of going to political talks, going to meetings, to looking through social media, where the only thing people seem to want to talk about is how out of line the other left group, insert name here, is. The bosses, my friends, are creaming themselves. And I just had to get off that off my chest. But meanwhile, we don't know the name of the bloke who was probably killed by the IDF in the West Bank today, or the kid who was assaulted, or the young man or the young woman who was raped, or even the old bloke who just died quietly, given up the ghost, after spending his whole life being subject to and watching his friends and family, children, subject to humiliations and degradations that we can't even begin to imagine. But we do know the name of the US National Guard who died this week. Sarah Beckstrom, who was shot and killed while taking part in what is probably the largest domestic military operation against a people ever in the United States history, that beacon of democracy, our friend and ally.
Our closest friend and ally.
Sarah and her comrade, a dude named Andrew, who's in a serious condition also, was shot by a guy named Rampanala Lakhanwal, an Afghan national who was taken to the US as part of an allies welcome program in 2021 when they pulled out of Afghanistan, because of fears his own people would have called him to account for the role he played as a CIA-funded mercenary in the Zero Unit who committed the kind of war crimes against Afghan civilians, including medical staff at hospitals, that even the Australian and US official militaries would object to. And that's a pretty bloody high bar from what's been coming out in recent years. Now, no doubt, our government leaders who will never learn, because they don't really give a shit, the names of any Palestinians murdered with quite possibly Australian-made weapons, will send an official delegation to the National Guard's funeral and be fully understanding of the idea that as a consequence of this, the CIA-trained and equipped killer, continuing his long-held policy of turning on his own, what do you expect? What do you expect when you take an Afghan national and you give him money to turn and gun down and murder and torture and rape his own people? What do you expect? You're going to say he's one of ours now? He's not going to do it to us? He's a mercenary, whether he's Afghani or American, Australian, Israeli, whatever the hell he is. Who gives a shit? Anyone who turns on their own people is sooner or later going to turn on you. But they're turning that into a policy of deporting people.
Yeah, and so after the announcement of the alleged killer, Trump's latest announcement is really highlighting the targets of Afghan migrants in the US.
Yeah.
Just the same as ICE has been deployed and the National Guard has been deployed to snatch people off the street, to snatch Latinos off the street and send them to concentration camps. Trump has announced that's the language is just that language that for the last decades of embedding Islamophobia in, so every Arab in the US is now in the narrower focus of the US domestic military machine, as if it wasn't already.
And let's remember, Afghans aren't Arabs. They're Afghans, but they're being painted as the term Arab is now a generic slur word almost. But, you know, it's not just this that's happening. Remember we spoke about the Heritage Foundation and their Project Esther and how they're paying, social media influencers thousands of dollars a hit to publish stories that are favourable to Israel and make Muslims look like criminals. This is what's happening, you know, and our government is going to fully support that. Heck, they might even do it here.
Yeah.
Anyway, you listen to Community Radio 3CR, Friday Rave with Mercedes and Jacob. It's currently 17 minutes past five. And I just want to say, before we go on top of things, sometimes, you know, we're here getting ready for the show, walking down the street, having a coffee at one of our favourite cafes, whatever, and people come up to us. And one of the things is that we only ever post about doom and gloom. Well, here's a good news story for you.
It's not all doom and gloom.
It's not all doom and gloom. A report published in the US last week revealed that the rate of severe military aircraft accidents was 55% higher than it was in 2020. It said that mishaps cost the military $9.4 billion, killed 90 service members and DOD civilians, and destroyed 89 aircraft in the last 4 years alone. The Air Force lost 47 pilots to preventable mishaps in 2024 alone. Preventable mishaps.
Preventable mishap. I mean, I know that there was a couple F-18s that went into the drink and some of the trailers, but to call that a mishap is really, like, I don't know what you'd call when you lock your keys in your car.
Well, I mean...
A mishap.
I locked the keys in the house the other day. A $9 billion mishap. That was a preventable mishap. This is, you know, and the main reason cited is that the aircraft are too complicated. And they're so complicated that they keep breaking down, particularly F-35s. And most of the F-35s are out of service when they need them. So they're not working.
Well, every F-35 for 1 hour of flight time requires 5.6 hours of maintenance.
Yeah. And they can't afford that. And all the maintenance has to be carried out by Lockheed Martin. Can't even be carried out by the US Air Force or Navy anymore.
Yep.
The US Navy does not have the authority to change a tyre on its own aircraft. And these things have fallen apart and they've lost 47 airmen to preventable mishaps in 2024 alone. I've just got to keep saying that. And what's the answer is? Make things more complicated. In Australia, buy more F-35s. Sell the F-35s to Saudi Arabia. And when the F-35s are first announced, I announced, not on this show, it was before we did this show, but I announced on a radio program on 3CR that I'd rather we spent billions of dollars on the F-35 than something that was actually efficient at killing people.
Mm.
If we're going to spend billions and billions of dollars, let's spend it on a pup. You know, but anyway, 47 airmen to preventable mishaps in 2024 alone, 89 aircraft in the last 4 years.
89.
$9.4 billion, 90 service members. So don't say that we're all doom and gloom here on Community Radio 3CR with a Friday rave.
It kind of evokes the all of the helicopters and the planes getting pushed off the boats after Vietnam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's... And who wins, who loses? Every time a plane breaks, they buy two more.
Mm.
This is absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, what else are we going to talk about today?
We were going to...
We've only got a few minutes left.
We do have a few minutes left, but we're going to talk about Venezuela.
That's right.
A little bit today. Now,
Venezuela.
Of course, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, LASNET Solidarity Network putting out information. They continue to do great work and hold rallies to find out about just what's going on. But I'm sure Venezuela's been in the news recently. And because Trump has basically declared war on Venezuela.
Yeah, it's happened. And it's not just Trump. Like, I mean, Trump is the president now.
Mm.
But you need to remember that Venezuela was called a threat to US national security by Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been the official narrative ever since. All right, it was Obama who designated Venezuela a threat to US national security. And they're saying,
what was the basis of the threat to national security at the time, do you know?
Was it narco?
I might have put you on the spot. It was narco again.
Narcos, yeah. And it was just...
Despite what the... Contrary to the evidence. Of,
yeah. There's no evidence whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe there is a bit of an illegal drug trade out of Venezuela. You know, I'll tell you now, there's an illegal drug trade in and out of Australia.
Mm.
But we don't see US F-35s and tankers and warships and, you know, half the fleet lined up off our coast. And it's a huge drug trade in and out of Australia. But so we're going there. We're flying B-52s. We've got a whole range of aircraft carriers. I was going to have a list of all the carrier strike groups and all the rest of it that are there, but it would almost be easier to talk about the US military than not. I mean, they're surrounding the coast of the Caribbean.
And they've already done, so they've already taken out strikes on boats that they claim to be drug boats, but families suggest that they're fishing boats.
Yeah.
And put out these, you know, disgusting videos of these strikes. And so they've already done that. Trump's insinuated that they're going to do a land invasion. The US, the Pentagon is opening up new bases. Reopening
yeah.
old bases. So there's one in Panama and one in Puerto Rico that now they're reactivating. That is around Puerto Rico. There's three already that are already operational in Puerto Rico and one in the Virgin Islands.
I believe they're working closely with Trinidad and Tobago as well. And, you know, why? It's not about narco-terrorism. Let me just, in the couple of minutes we've got, talk about one particular senator, Maria Salazar, Republican for Florida, the daughter of anti-Castro Cuban expats. She said that the US must go to war with Venezuela, quote, because it's become the launching pad for people who hate the US. And then she claimed that Iran, Hezbollah and Hamas are active in the country, and even went as far as saying that Maduro, the president of Venezuela, was giving uranium, quote unquote, giving uranium to Hamas and to Iran and to North Korea and Nicaragua. And the way she put "and" in between them made me think she sounded like she was just adding countries as they came into her head. You know, it's ridiculous. She also said that Maduro was the leader of the so-called Cartel of the Suns, a group which doesn't exist, was never actually proof that it exists at all, was used in the 90s, the term, to describe Venezuelan generals with sun insignia on their uniforms who were involved in cocaine traffic, working with the CIA.
Oh, here they are again.
That's who the Cartel of the Sun was, you know. But then her main argument in pushing the US to war is that they must go into Venezuela so American oil companies can have a quote-unquote field day, since the country sits on the largest proven oil reserves in the world. I'm going to give you this absolute straight-out quote. Venezuela, for those Americans who don't understand why we need to go in, Venezuela, for the oil companies, will be a field day because it will be more than $1 trillion in economic activity, Salazar said. $1 trillion, so that's one Elon Musk's worth of economic activity.
Oh, yeah.
You could say. And this is what's going on. And this is like believing it's about narcotics would be like believing Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And on that, Elliot Abrahams, older listeners would remember Elliot Abrahams. He was a special representative for Venezuela in Trump's first term. Before that, he was Bush's head honcho, one of the architects of the war on terror in Iraq and Afghanistan. Before that, he was convicted of misleading Congress about his role in the Iran-Contra affair. And here's his plan for war in Venezuela. Washington should expand its target to list drug trafficking speedboats in ports in addition to those on the seas, because the threat must be brought home to the Venezuelan military. To protect US planes that may strike targets in Venezuela and to demonstrate such targets are planned, US forces should destroy Venezuela's air defence systems. Blah, 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 blah. No single step would have a greater effect on the Venezuelan military intelligence service and police than removing Interior Minister Cabello. He just goes on, Abrams, the fact that we're even listening to this prick that we listened to him after he was found guilty for misleading Congress and the rest of the world on the Iran-Contra affair. He then given another Guernsey to explain how we should get rid of Saddam Hussein and it'll be all over in a couple of months and the world will be a safer democratic place. The fact that we're still listening to this turkey.
Yeah. Well, didn't you give me tell me that there's more, the highest concentration of convicted criminals in the US outside the prison system?
Is Congress. Yeah.
So, I mean, if that tells you all you need to know of why this turkey is still getting listened to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're liars, they're thieves, they're corrupt to the core.
Yeah.
They're corrupt to the core. And our politicians here, the ones who don't give a shit.
And have been silent on Venezuela. I'm yet to see, I mean, listeners, please, I can be corrected on this, but
please.
Has Penny Wong said anything about Venezuela?
Has anyone said anything about Venezuela?
Yeah.
From the Australian government, Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, who knows? We're out of time.
Should have looked it up before we came to air.
We're out of time.
We are out of time.
Oh, we tried. We did look it up. We couldn't find anything, but it was a perfunctory lookup.
Yeah, that's right. This has been a Friday rave on Community Radio 3CR. We'll be back with more next week, but make sure to get down to the Grace Darling this Friday night.
That's tonight,
this Friday night. I'm always bad with calendars, you know that. Friday night and also on Sunday to get a bit more information about that. And also on Monday night at Aunty Alma's Gathering Place, there's going to be a panel discussion.
Up in Preston.
With Uncle Robbie, Dr. Irene Watson, and I think Senator Lydia Thorpe's going to be there.
Good.
So make sure to check that out. And that's enough from this week. Keep it locked to 855 AM.